Reserves, a different way of life. Have you ever heard of an Indian reserve? Do you know what an Indian reserve is? Do you know who lives on an Indian reserve or why these reserves exist in Canada? Even though there are 3,100 reserves across Canada, and many right in the middle of urban areas such as Vancouver, Calgary, and Montreal, many people living in Canada don't know much about them. According to the Indian Act, a reserve is an area of land that has been set aside or reserved by the government for the use of a First Nation community, or, as it is referred to in the Indian Act, a band. The Indian Act defines what a reserve is, who can live on a reserve, and how it can be governed. The community that lives on a reserve is governed by a band council, which is a group of elective community members and a band chief. However, this council must follow the rules included in the Indian Act when making decisions about their community. So why were reserves created? Well, when Europeans started arriving in large numbers in what is now Canada, they needed land to settle on. Sometimes they tried to settle on land that was part of the traditional territory of an Aboriginal nation. You see, these nations didn't always occupy this land all year round because they followed the migration of the animals they hunted for food, and they moved to fishing camps along rivers when the salmon returned to spawn. This meant that sometimes the land did not look like it was occupied, but in fact it was. And when the Aboriginal people returned to this territory, they sometimes found European settlers had taken it over. Of course, this led to land disputes between settlers and Aboriginal people. So, in order to prevent these conflicts and free up more land for the newcomers, the Canadian government created reserves. But this actually wasn't the only reason. Reserves were also created as a way to encourage or force Aboriginal people to adopt a more Euro-Canadian lifestyle. At the time, Europeans thought that using land productively meant agriculture and extracting minerals and other resources in order to make money. They thought that traveling around to hunt, fish, and gather food was a primitive way to live, so they wanted Aboriginal people to settle in one place, farm, grow crops, and raise livestock. They also strongly believed in the importance of land ownership and private property. However, traditionally, Aboriginal people had a completely opposite perspective. They believed that the land and resources couldn't be owned by anyone, because they were put here by the Creator for the use of all living creatures. They understood that their lifestyle was controlled by the rhythms of nature. Unfortunately, Euro-Canadians didn't understand or agree with this, so reserves were created and Aboriginal people were forced to live on them. Sometimes these reserves were areas of land that had been part of previous treaty agreements between First Nations and the British government. Other times, they were new plots of land that were reserved for Aboriginal use. Sometimes reserves were placed along rivers or on the coast of an ocean because these areas were essential for fishing and the survival of the band. However, in other cases, the reserves were nowhere near the traditional territory, so the community that moved there didn't know the land at all. Sometimes the First Nation had a say in where the reserve was, but other times the Canadian government made that decision on its own without consulting the Aboriginal community. When this happened, the reserves were much smaller than the traditional territory of the nation, and they often didn't include important hunting, fishing, or ceremonial areas. Also, although the Canadian government claimed that it wanted Aboriginal people to farm, it often gave them pieces of land that had very poor soil, so it was almost impossible to grow any crops. Another challenge that Aboriginal people faced was that their reserves were often reduced in size quite dramatically over time. In some cases, entire reserves completely disappeared. Sometimes the government decided that the band didn't actually need so much land because they weren't using it properly, or in other words, they weren't farming. In other cases, the government took away reserve land to build railways, highways, and power lines. Unfortunately, in some situations, these right-of-ways, as they were called, ran right through the middle of a reserve, so a community was split in two. Okay, so you may be wondering, why did the First Nations let the government take away their land? Well, according to the Indian Act, the land is not actually owned by the band. It is still owned and controlled by the government. The band members are permitted to live there, but they're not permitted to own any of the property. In the past, this meant that government officials were able to take pieces of reserve land away for other purposes. Today, the government is less likely to take away land without consulting the First Nation. However, there are still limits to how the land can be used. For example, the resources such as the lumber and minerals on a reserve are not owned by the First Nation, so they can't be sold by the community. The Indian Act also states that it's illegal for First Nations people to sell any of the crops or livestock that they raise on a reserve. They're also not permitted to sell any of the fish that they catch. And because the land is owned by the government, the Aboriginal people who live on reserves don't actually own their homes. All of these restrictions can make it quite difficult for Aboriginal people who live on reserves to earn a living or build their credit. And of course, this has led to high poverty rates on many reserves. So why do Aboriginal people stay on reserves? Why don't they just move and live in towns and cities like other Canadians? In the past, Aboriginal people were not permitted to leave the reserve. Later, when this law was changed, they were allowed to move to towns and cities, but they experienced a lot of discrimination. They often couldn't find work or places to live because they were Indian. Also, at that time, if an Aboriginal person left the reserve, he lost his government Indian status. This meant that he lost his right to live on the reserve with his community members, and he could no longer take advantage of the rights outlined in the Indian Act, such as the right to fish and hunt. Today, many Aboriginal families have chosen to live in cities and towns away from their communities' reserves and their traditional territories. However, living far from the reserve can mean living far from one's community and one's cultural heritage. In the city, many Aboriginal people are not able to access the community support or cultural ceremonies and events that they get by living on reserve. Although the reserve system was developed to eliminate or get rid of Aboriginal culture, in fact, in many ways, it has done just the opposite. Communities living on reserves that were located on or near their traditional territory were able to maintain a close connection to their land. And even though the Indian Act tried to ban many cultural practices, people who were living together on reserves were able to keep these important traditions and pass them on to their children. In this way, a reserve can be a place of comfort and tradition for many Aboriginal people. So even though there are challenges with living there, it can be very hard to leave.